Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And tonight we're going to have open lines and UFO news for the first half hour. And then in our second half hour, we're going to kind of lighten it up a little bit. We're going to talk about UFOs, science fiction, and Hollywood. Our guest is going to be Tracy Torme. He's the executive producer of Sliders, which is on Fox TV now. It's a series that's been appearing on the Fox Television Network. And he's also the creator of the program. And as you might recall, Tracy is an accomplished screenwriter and other things such as Fire in the Sky and the CBS miniseries Intruders, among other things. So we're going to have him on the second half of the hour to talk about Sliders and some of the other things related to that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Ray Santilli film. Tracy's got a couple of things he's got a couple of comments he wants to make on that Roswell video footage that's supposedly going to air on Fox on August the 28th, which, of course, there's a lot of discussion about that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight before we get to Tracy. But first of all, I want to make an announcement about some of our future programs. Next week, the program is going to change. The name of the program is going to change from the Paranet UFO Continuum to the Paranet Continuum. And what we're going to do is the reason we're dropping the name UFO out of the title is because we are going to expand our focus just a little bit. We're still going to bring you UFO programs. We're still going to talk a lot about UFOs and give that a lot of attention. But we're going to expand the focus of the program to include parapsychology, some futuristic science stuff, and a variety of other things that might fall under the paranormal banner. So, just be prepared for that. The UFO is going to be dropped out of the name. We're still going to cover UFO topics. That's still one of the things that I really enjoy myself. So that's not going to change at all. We're just going to just make a small change to the name. Okay, now, regarding this Roswell autopsy business, I recently heard an interview with Ray Santilli, and I have to say that even after hearing Santilli now, I'm even more skeptical of the veracity or the authenticity of these images that are allegedly on this film. If any of you have an opinion or something you'd like to talk about, give me a call at 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-UFO-2009. We're going to have open lines for the first half hour, as I said. If you have anything you want to talk about, or if you have a comment on this Roswell autopsy film, give me a call. The thing that I really am very, very concerned about is we know from the past, we've seen this history of ufology. It's not been a pretty sight, if you will. There's been a lot of things that have come down the pike, you know, over the last couple of years, including the MJ-12 hoax, a variety of other different things. And the thing is, I think that this thing is gearing up to become probably the greatest hoax of them all. What it could possibly be, I don't know. I have a couple of guesses, but I don't want to go into that because, you know, that would take probably a whole hour to do. But nevertheless, the thing I think we need to really consider again is, and I want to keep saying this because I know this thing is really, really ramping up to be something quite large. From what I understand, Fox is just one part of this whole thing. It's going to be aired globally around the world, and some of this stuff has already appeared in France and some of the European countries. But, you know, this is getting to be a big deal, and I think there's a lot of bucks involved. I think we need to consider that and why, there's so much money involved in this, of course. if this is truly the smoking gun, then where are the bodies? You know, it's one thing to have these images on film, which I must say I've seen these still photos. I believe there's five of them circulating out there. They're very creepy, and they do show something that does not look necessarily human, but it could pass for a human. And again, anybody can, fool around with video images and do a lot of different things to them. So I guess the thing we need to keep in mind is, where is the body? If this is about a body, if this is truly an alien being, why aren't we getting this proclamation from the government? As Ray Santilli has said, he acquired these in 1993 from a gentleman who's in his 80s. This gentleman allegedly was a photographer for the Air Force and claims that they were taken in 1947. Almost too good to be true. But nevertheless, he snuck them out for posterity, I guess, from the military, which I would imagine that if something is still as highly classified as Roswell is alleged to be, a crime has been committed as far as who actually owns that property. I mean, here's one question that I think that in all practicality, can Ray Santilli actually show this film if this is the property of the government? And, if these are real films, why aren't the government, or why isn't the government making the proclamation? Why aren't they releasing the information to us? Of course, we know that they have been treating this in a very classified manner. They don't want to talk about it. The government, there's a veil of secrecy there. I think that's been fairly well acknowledged. But I don't know. This just doesn't seem to look right, and I'm very concerned about it. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Give me a call. This is open lines for the first half hour. If you have something you want to talk about, anything on your mind, give me a call. I'm here listening very very intently. Also, I want to make a couple of other announcements. Next week on August the 10th, which is a Thursday night, and if you're in the Denver area, MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, will be holding its monthly meeting at the Poor Joe's Coffee House at 970 Lincoln Street. That's in Denver. The featured speaker is Kay Winters. Now, a lot of you will remember Kay Winters appeared on the program a few weeks ago, and she talked about the goings-on down in El Malpais, New Mexico, which is down around the Zuni Pueblo Indian Reservation, where we took a report, a cattle mutilation report, for example, one aspect of that. Second of all, on May the 10th, a stealth bomber crashed there. And there's quite a bit of activity down there. Kay came on the program to let us know that she had interviewed numerous of the local people down there who had reported seeing UFOs in intense numbers 1 week prior to the crash of the stealth on May the 10th. And then after this occurred, there was no more activity. It seemed to stop. But apparently this area has experienced a considerable amount of activity. Okay, when we come back, I got a couple of other comments. And again, open lines, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
It's been said, the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers, investigators, and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions, valuable resources, and best of all, an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories, and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, citing reports, and much more, available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at Area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-429-2654.
Once again, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor to the Paranet UFO Continuum, Alien Grays of East Windsor, Connecticut. Alien Grays makes t-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast. And let me tell you, it's some of the best artwork you've ever seen on a t-shirt. Alien Grays has over 15 designs, including the Alien Gray that abductees have talked so much about. X-Files shirts, Star Trek shirts, Fire in the Sky, other dazzling alien life forms, and space art. Now, all t-shirts are blazing full-color laser-printed onto 100% pre-shrunk white cotton tees. People will notice when you're wearing one of these t-shirts. To order them, call this number during the week, 203-292-6035. That's 203-292-6035. Now, Alien Grays is helping to support this show and give something nice to you with a free shirt. Call in now. I'll take the ninth call at 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-UFO-2009. Caller number 9 for a free t-shirt from Alien Grays.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. I'm Michael Corbin. Coming back from the break, I was just looking at this this little letter that came into UFO Magazine. I kind of want to read this to you real quick. It's a very interesting letter. The title of it's called MMPI in Your Face. I don't know if I've talked about this. I'm very critical of the use of hypnosis and weekend hypnotherapists, if you will, to do the abduction research. But anyway, this gentleman, his name is Anthony Giacomo from Carmel, New York, writes, "I am writing this as an open letter to those in the abductee support counseling community and would like to throw out some questions. First of all, has any one of you ever actually applied simple behavioral science or psychology principles to your interviews with so-called abductees? I am referring to such evaluate devices as the MMPI or the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory or the Rogers Personality Index Test. How do you know, for example, that the people with whom you are dealing are not simply suffering from schizophrenia, paranoid delusion, dysfunctional belief systems, thought processes, borderline personality disorder, feelings of inadequacy, and etc.? Do you apply psychoanalytic methods to your interviews, or do you blithely dive headfirst into what you hear, perhaps confabulation or out-and-out fantasies, without any evidence or empirical data to support what the experiencer is telling you? We as serious researchers must rely on sound scientific evaluative devices if we are to truly solve the mysteries of what is flying around up there. I have my doubts about a bunch of untrained pseudo-professionals claiming to be therapists just because many systems of state code do not set up legal accrediting requirements for that profession and feel that a great scam is being perpetrated on innocents who may be simply the victims of mental illness. I myself am a holder of New York State accreditations in human behavior and am halfway through earning a master's degree. He's been an undercover investigator for the New York Police Department, a lecturer at that academy, an auxiliary police force administrative officer, on and on. I have investigated all manner of unusual occurrences, incidents of satanic crime, ritual abuse, lights in the sky, strange animal reports, bizarre crimes, etc. He's certified child abuse maltreatment identification and reporting, and he has given testimony in many cases for child custody matters. I know that untrained and reckless egomaniacal fools are destroying lives. I say to you all then, cut the crap, get real lives, and stop abusing the mentally ill. Again, that's Anthony DiGiacomo from Carmel, New York. Now, I don't quite feel that strongly as he does, but I think that there is a considerable amount of abuse that goes on. And again, you know, we've talked about this before. We need to get more involved in what's going on and stop believing all this stuff until we have more proof. That's the whole bottom line. Okay, let's take a call. We've got Brad calling in on our affiliate at in Ogden, Utah, our affiliate KCNR in Salt Lake. Good evening, Brad.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. I just had a question. I was wondering if you had any theories or heard any reports on Sasquatch being related to UFOs.
Actually, I've heard quite a bit about that. There's been a lot of, over the years, there's been a lot of reports that place Sasquatch or Bigfoot in the proximity of UFOs, particularly in Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, we had a researcher from your area in Utah on the program a few weeks ago.
Ryan Little? Or?
Yeah, Ryan. And he talked about a lot of that. And I also have a good friend who's a retired county sheriff who is looking very intently at the Bigfoot mystery and might even feel that there is some kind of a connection. And, of course, Colorado, we've had a lot of Bigfoot reports down in the San Luis Valley, the mysterious San Luis Valley, as it's known around here.
Huh.
But I think probably the most impressive case that I've ever heard was when it was in Pennsylvania, where a rancher heard some kind of barking, kind of animalistic noises coming from an area that he, on his ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked out into this clearing, he saw several what appeared to be Bigfoot standing outside of a UFO. And this guy panicked and shot at them, and they jumped on board and took off.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. And I've also heard it connected to the supernatural, too.
That's also an interesting theory.
Have you heard any reports on that? Because I've heard of Bigfoot disappearing, floating instead of walking.
Sure.
Through bushes and shrubs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him disappearing into sparkles of light, too, as well.
Hmm.
There's a researcher. I don't know if he's still around anymore, but he was talking about the theory that Bigfoot was a Bardo creature. And Bardo meaning, I guess in some ways, the Bardo is an the other side, maybe the netherworld or some other dimension. And his theory was that Bigfoot came through that time dimension or whatever it was to collect dead folks, who people had died.
Hmm.
Kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, it is. Have you heard of... Well, I'm sure you've had a few programs on the Philadelphia experiment at all.
We have not, that I know of, we've never addressed that on any of the programs.
Okay. Well, when these men went through their the magnetic pole and stuff like that, they
right.
supposedly went into a different dimension.
Uh-huh.
And some of these men had seen aliens.
Wow.
So a theory was that aliens come from a different dimension other than within our universe.
I think it's a possibility. I mean, there, you know, everybody's got some good ideas. You know, the extraterrestrial hypothesis, the time traveler. It could be any one of those. And I think that even a couple of guests on the program have addressed the possibility of time travel, that it's quite possible.
Hmm.
So it might be something like that.
Yeah, so I was thinking Bigfoot or Sasquatch could possibly be the same thing or within that realm.
Right. That's very...
as being from just a different dimension.
Have you ever seen a UFO, Brad?
I haven't.
You haven't?
My friend Tony Salvitti and I, we're investigators here in Utah. So.
Okay, great. Well, listen, thank you for your call. I'm going to have to move along. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to bring Tracy Torme on.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the call, and keep listening.
Okay, we'll see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Brad in Ogden, Utah. Also, our winner of the T-shirt is Donna, who called in from Ogden, Utah. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, like I said, we're going to bring Tracy Torme on. He is executive producer and creator of Sliders on the Fox Network. And Tracy's going to talk about that and UFOs as well. So let's go. I'm Michael Corbin, 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. There are many magazines about UFOs.
Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum. One of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
You'll hear on this program are simply unbelievable. But what if they're for real? Keep an open mind and stay tuned to the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And once again, our number is 1-800-UFO-2009. That's 1-800-UFO-2009. And we're talking about Roswell autopsy, and we're discussing whether or not that those photographs could be authentic or not. And these pictures are definitely out there on the net, on the internet, if you have a computer and a modem. And also they're available on Paranet, on the Paranet BBS. And I'm going to give you that number if you want to jot it down. The number is 303-863-0469. That's 303-863-0469. I'd also be very interested in hearing your opinion if you've seen these. The thing that kind of worries me, too, about it is that this stuff has already been seen in Europe. There's also there's something on Netscape on the web browser, for you who know what that means at the Internet. There's also been stuff on the net about that, which showed that there was these photos that appeared in a French magazine. And, of course, from the interview that I heard with Ray Santilli, he had not authorized any of those to be distributed, but yet there are quite a few of them out there, and they definitely do show something highly, highly unusual. So I'd be interested in hearing your input on that. That's 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Are we able to take a call now on the
on the thing? Okay, we're going to be moving on to Tracy here in just a moment. Also, I know that we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about the investigation that MICAP has going on in Missouri on a strange cattle death. And as you may recall, the Brian Wood, who is the international director of MICAP, mentioned that they had also taken a police report from several witnesses who, you know, had seen a UFO, and this the story was quite interesting. And we got Tracy now? Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to take our guest tonight, Tracy Torme, who's the executive producer and creator of Sliders, which is appearing on the Fox Television Network. Good evening, Tracy.
Hi, Mike. It's kind of hard to hear you. I'll do the best I can.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being on the program.
You're very welcome.
Tracy, give us a little bit of an idea on what Sliders is about and you know, what kind of a program it is.
Well, it's about these people who discover a gateway that takes them to parallel Earths. And they are sort of lost in this void trying to get back home. And what they do is they keep landing on different Earths. And it's always 1995 and it's always San Francisco. So it's sort of a canvas for us to do what-if stories, personally and historically.
Okay. That's kind of an interesting concept. I know that it's a very popular program, at least in the Denver area, and I heard that there's been some very good reviews on the program itself. What's your background, Tracy, as a screenwriter? Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done.
Movies and television, kind of bouncing back and forth for about 15 years. I started when I was 12. I wish I could say that. That's not true. But I've started in comedy, actually. I started at SCTV and then at Saturday Night Live. And then I was with Star Trek for a while and done a couple of movies and a couple miniseries. And I've really, you know, it's been fun for me to be able to bounce back between the two mediums. Usually sometimes they try to pigeonhole you in one or the other. And Sliders is the first time I've ever tried to actually create a show. And so it's a sort of a brand new experience for me to be at the helm of a show that I created. It's been it's a long road to go from conception to actually being on the air, and it's really gratifying. It's been a really fun experience.
Sure. Now, as a screenwriter, Tracy, what kinds of things have you seen in the background that have to do with the paranormal or science fiction, for example? You know, those kinds of things. What have you seen that moves toward the kind of stuff that you've done in the past?
You know, I hate to say this, Mike, you're kind of fading in and out. As a screenwriter, what types of things, could you repeat that again?
Yeah, I was just wondering, as a screenwriter yourself, with an interest in science fiction and all that, you know, how did you get involved in, say, some of the UFO projects, like Fire in the Sky?
Well, that's something I've just always been interested in since I was a kid. I can remember even when I was very young seeing a photograph and thinking, you know, a photograph of an alleged UFO and thinking, boy, if that's real, if even one of these photographs is real, you know, we're looking at something that was manufactured and flown from another existence or another planet. I thought that was the most fascinating thing ever. So, I mean, I couldn't understand why more people weren't interested, because to me it was such an incredible concept if it was true. And if it wasn't true, that was pretty interesting too. Then what were all these people seeing, and what was the sort of mass delusion that was going on?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been interested in that since I was literally, you know, before I was 10 years old, I was reading books on it. And I've just maintained an interest throughout. When I could actually start to incorporate some of that into my work, it was great. Although sometimes it's frustrating, because people in the UFO community have certain expectations. You know, they want you to necessarily, if you do a movie on UFOs, they want you to take on a point of view that's pro-UFO and try to sell the world on it. And as you know from knowing me, I think a lot of UFO cases are explainable.
Sure.
So to me, I'm not going to go in there and do that. But there are, you know, sort of a hardcore group of people who think we should all be sort of propagandizing on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that the longer I've been interested in the mystery, the more mysterious it's gotten. I have less of an idea now than I did 5 years ago as to what's really going on.
Yeah, it's been a very, very interesting mystery, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you aware of the Ray Santilli film that's being talked about so much around?
Yeah, I guess some people sent me some stills from it, and I've seen some material about it and talked to some people who I guess have supposedly seen the film. So I'm somewhat aware of it.
Okay, I'm curious. What's your feeling about it?
Well, it seems to me that two or three times in the past there have been very, very elaborate hoaxes that have been, you know, put together. I mean, really elaborate hoaxes involving a lot of pre-planning and a lot of stuff which is thrown into the mix that makes you think that this could be real. And it seems to me that my best guess is this is yet another one of those. I haven't seen it myself. Maybe when I see it, I might change my mind. I know Paul Davids, who produced the Roswell movie. He seems to be very positive about it, and I respect him. But basically, from what I've been hearing about some of the flaws of the film and the simplicities of it, it seems to me like it's yet another elaborate hoax.
Okay.
And I would guess it's a hoax perpetrated by people, again, who are in the know about this stuff and who are, again, attempting to send well-meaning enthusiasts around in circles.
Yeah, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, that's the way I feel about it as well. When you say they, you know, who could be behind? What's your theory about who could be behind the hoax?
Well, that's such an interesting question. I mean, boy, I really wish I knew. I just assume that there are a small group of people that really do know what's going on to some extent. And I think part of their job is not just to chronicle, you know, UFO encounters, but also to, you know, spread disinformation. I think it's done to keep people from really getting closer to the truth. And unfortunately, a lot of believers, you know, buy a lot of this stuff hook, line, and sinker and fall right into that trap. And then, you know, well-meaning and good people end up chasing their tails, you know, chasing stories that just aren't true or that have a touch of truth in them, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's very likely what's going on again.
I guess from your background and your perspective, Tracy, what would you consider one of the best cases of authenticity, short of, you know, there's no proof, of course,
sure.
But what would
I think there's a couple of, you know, very, very strong abduction cases. I think is it called the Allegheny abductions or the one that just came out?
Allagash.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong case. I think the Travis Walton case, which, you know, I worked on, is a very, very strong case. I think, you know, one of my favorites of all time really is the Lonnie Zamora case from Socorro, New Mexico. Because that was a case where you had so many things involved. You had possibly multiple witnesses. You had burn marks in the ground. You know, you had reliable people who weren't interested in publicity as your witnesses. You had Air Force and other people on the site very soon after, and the bushes were supposedly still burning. I just spoke to John Cosgrove, who's a friend of mine, last week, and he's the creator, I guess, and executive producer of Unsolved Mysteries. And I guess they're doing a big piece on Socorro, which I had suggested to him years ago. So he called me and told me that they went down there and the landing site is still just as it used to be. And I think they spent a good amount of money recreating the whole story. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. In fact, they're going to send me a lot of the rough footage of it, even the stuff they didn't use. Because I also know Jacques Vallée told me that was the case that changed Alan Hynek's mind.
Uh-huh.
That was the case that really turned Hynek from, Alan Hynek, who coined Close Encounters or whatever, who used to be the number one debunker, basically. And that case came along, and he was just so convinced that something, you know, unearthly had happened there that he then became a believer.
What year was that? That was 60...
I think it was 64.
Yeah, I was going to say 64.
It's a great, I mean, to me, just a prototypical classic, you know, UFO sort of close encounter that is very hard for any skeptic, you know, like a Carl Sagan or somebody
sure.
that ridicules the subject. I would just love one of those guys to dive in and tell me what happened there. I don't think they could give a good answer.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We're going to go to break, and when we come back,
great.
We'll get some more thoughts, and we'll take your calls. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Tracy Tormé. He is the executive producer and creator of Sliders, and he's done quite a bit of stuff in the UFO field as well. Fire in the Sky, the CBS miniseries Intruders, a lot of other stuff. A very interesting guy. We'll be right back with your calls. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
It's been said, the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers, investigators, and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions, valuable resources, and best of all, an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories, and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, citing reports, and much more, available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at Area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-429-2654.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours, free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800.
To one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back, my guest, Tracy Torme, the executive producer and creator of Sliders. A program is being seen on the Fox Television Network. And once again, I want to give away a T-shirt to the fifth caller who calls us at 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. They are compliments of Alien Grays, a new sponsor to this program, and we'll give away a T-shirt to the fifth caller. Let's take a call also. We've got David calling us from our affiliate KIDO in Boise, Idaho. Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Welcome to the program.
Hey.
What's your question for Tracy?
Well, I first want to just comment on show Sliders. I've really enjoyed it. I think it's probably the most creative show I've seen come out since Star Trek originally. And I wondered a couple of things. Where he got the concept, first off, and second off, how it's been received. I oftentimes notice that many of the shows I like end up deep six before they ever come out of the blocks, really.
Okay, Tracy?
I'm afraid I couldn't hear that.
Okay, David said that he's really impressed with Sliders. It's one of the best shows he's seen come along since Star Trek, and he wanted to know where the concept came from.
The concept really came from looking for some way to do sort of stories about what if on history. To make a really long story short, I was reading a bio of George Washington, and there was a moment in the Revolutionary War when he was almost shot. And everybody sort of theorized in a paragraph in the book on, you know, if he'd taken that bullet, there probably would be no United States. So these eight guys took aim on him, and they all missed. And at that moment, I kind of thought to myself, boy, that's really an interesting moment in history. It was 1 second where if one guy had a little bit of a better aim, you know, Mike Corbin and Tracy Torme and the caller and everybody else would not be here today.
Sure.
And that's just kind of where it started with me. It just kind of started from there, and that was sort of the genesis of thinking up the storyline.
What response has the program gotten, Tracy?
What response? What, sorry?
What response has the program received as far as, you know, from the public?
It's been really gratifying. We've got a very hardcore group of fans that developed right away and that, you know, go on the internet and form fan clubs and do things like that. And, you know, from my experience at Star Trek, one of the cool things is for this type of show, fans take it seriously and they believe in the rules and they get involved and they you know, analyze a lot of little pieces of storyline, and it's really great from a writing standpoint because you're really writing for people who care about all the little things, you know, that we throw in there.
Sure.
And so it's so far, given the fact we've only done 10 shows, we've been really, really happy with the fan response.
Okay. David, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Keep listening to the program.
All right, thanks.
Okay, Tracy, it's been about 2 years now since Fire in the Sky was released. Now, what has the reaction been since?
Well, there were some people that were disappointed that we changed the ending of the film. You know, we did fictionalize somewhat Travis's experience inside the spaceship or whatever it was. And, I, you know, at first I was kind of defensive about it and sort of told people, remember, this is a movie and whatever. But, you know, the more I've thought about it, they did have a very valid point. And I wish going back that we had been able to stay a little closer to the truth on it. And that's really been the only negative about it, was people thought we'd fictionalized the alien encounter too much. But otherwise, it seems to, it did very, very well in video, and a lot of people really like the film, and we put a lot of our heart and soul into that film, so I'm always going to be proud of it. You know, had I ended up directing it, I would have done some things differently, but all in all, I'm pretty pleased with the way it came out.
Sure, I would agree, too. It was a very good movie. Have there been any new witnesses or any new information that's come out from that case?
Travis has said a few things to me about, you know, having some more memories and things that he's sort of been cryptic about, and I'm going to see him in L.A. in a couple months, and of course I'm anxious to hear what that is all about.
Sure.
That's really all I know, is that he's implied that he remembers a little bit more than he did before.
Okay.
So I really don't know the details, but that'll sure be interesting to look into.
I agree. Do movies like this help uncover the truth, or do you think that they confuse the issue because it might be regarded as, say, just entertainment?
Well, you know, the only purpose that I think Fire in the Sky serves, and I really wanted it to serve this purpose, is that when the average person has some kind of an encounter that seems so abnormal, I sort of wanted to do a film about the ridicule that person goes through, and and how difficult it is to just come out and say, this is what I saw, I'm sorry it didn't fit into your version of reality. And that's really, I hope it serves that purpose. I did have, there were a couple people when we first screened the film who came up to me, critics and stuff, who said, I never, you know, took this stuff, UFO stuff, seriously before, but the next time someone says they saw one, I won't laugh at them. I'll give them a chance, you know.
Sure.
And that is one thing that I really did hope would come out of the movie, and I hope it has.
Okay. Now, let's take X-Files, for example. What is your opinion of some of these recent UFO series that have come out on television?
You know, I don't, you know, I've just seen snippets of the X-Files. It's on Friday nights, which is kind of a bad time for me out here, and what I've seen of it, I liked. You know, I've heard it's a very good show. I just haven't seen enough of it to really make a judgment on it. As far as any other UFO-based shows, can you give me an example? Because I probably would have an opinion if I could.
Well, say, for example, Encounters.
Oh, okay, yes, absolutely. I think Encounters is a lot better than Sightings. I mean, there's similar shows on the same network, but I've noticed that it seems to me that Encounters, they play less fast and loose with the truth. They seem to spend a little bit more money on their stuff and the recreations. I think they're more intelligent. Sightings seems to maybe even be the more popular show.
Mm-hmm.
I found Sightings to be kind of shoddy.
Okay.
To be kind of like the old In Search Of show, sort of.
Okay.
Whereas I think Encounters, at least what I've seen when they've dealt with UFO cases, they seem to have really, you know, gone out of the way to be accurate, which I really appreciate, you know, and not to be too sensational.
Okay.
So I've been impressed with that show.
You know, see, now that brings me to the next question that I have for you. Do you think that there are any other agendas, you know, like behind the making of UFO movies? Is it just purely good business, or have some producers and actors, say, experienced UFO phenomena?
The first part of the question, I'm sorry, Mike.
Are there any other agendas behind the making of UFO movies?
Oh, well, you know, there's all kinds of rumors about Spielberg and what the real, you know, purpose behind Close Encounters was and stuff. And, you know, honestly, I've never found any evidence that there's been anything besides, you know, that people think it's a good story and they could make money. I'm not ruling out the idea that there have been other agendas. But I've really never seen any real evidence of it.
I know there are a lot of people talk about Chris Carter over at X-Files.
I really think that's not true, because I spoke to him very early in the mix of... you're talking about Chris Carter?
Yes, right.
I spoke to him early on because somebody had told me, hey, they're doing a show at Fox, and I think Sliders was just beginning over there in the beginning stages, and somebody said... And there's also an old friend of mine named Bob Goodwin who produces the X-Files. And I talked to Carter at length one day, and I was interested to see that he really didn't you know, admitted that he didn't know the subject. He wasn't that interested in the subject. He kind of just wanted to do a scary TV show, and that people were sort of indoctrinating him with all the material. And, you know, he didn't even seem like he was really a believer.
Yeah.
So, again, the idea that, you know, somebody had gone to him to do something that had an ulterior motive behind it, you know, I really don't think so. This is a guy that came out of NBC who used to work with Brandon Tartikoff, and I just don't think he'd be a likely guy to be that kind of a messenger, you know?
Okay. Well, listen, Tracy, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to appear on the program, talk about sliders and some of these other related issues. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight, and we'll be in touch in the near future, okay?
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
It's always fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tracy.
Bye-bye.
That's Tracy Torme, executive producer and creator of Sliders. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll take your calls, and we've got another T-shirt to give away, so stay tuned. Our number, by the way, is 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-UFO-2009. That is a toll-free number. And Ray from Ogden, we will get to your call just as soon as we come back from this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you are listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back after this break.
Paranet and MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, gives you a chance to hear and read more about UFOs and the paranormal. Catch up on our previous Paranet radio shows with cassette tapes you can order for $8 each, or two tapes for $6 each, three or more at $5 each. Become a member of Paranet and subscribe to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. And don't forget our stunning black T-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, the Paranet and MICAP logos, and a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to support this program. Call now for more information or to order your tapes, Continuum subscriptions, or T-shirts at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
A lot of people think that to appreciate culture, you've got to enjoy things like this. Or this. In early Mesopotamia, evidence of the first audit exists in the form of lists on clay tablets. Well, a lot of people respond to those things like this. Fabulous. Other people go... Is it over? For those of you in the category, you can't expect every cultural activity to appeal to everybody. That's why 23,000 arts and humanities groups called the National Cultural Alliance are offering you something everybody likes. A choice! For a free brochure about what's going on in your community, just call 800-NCA-8888. A little redundant? That's okay. And then you could get excited about something like this. Oh, yeah. William Tell It All. The arts and humanities. There's something in it for you. The National Cultural Alliance and the Ad Council invite you to explore what's available in your community. Just call 800-NCA-8888.
It's important to keep an open mind, but not as open as, say, a refuse can. We separate the facts from the garbage on the Paranet UFO Continuum. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And again, I want to thank Tracy Torme. He was at a barbecue party there in California and took time out to appear on the program. We would have had him a little bit longer, but unfortunately, the scheduling just didn't work out, so I'm glad we did get to have him on for two segments. Now, before we go into our phone calls, I want to let you know, too, that we, again, are welcoming a new sponsor to the Paranet UFO Continuum. It's Alien Grays. They're of East Windsor, Connecticut, and they make T-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast. There's many, many different styles and everything. We're giving away free T-shirts over the next couple of weeks on the program, and I am going to give a free T-shirt to the eighth caller now at 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. That's the eighth caller we'll give a T-shirt away to, okay, from Alien Grays. Okay, let's talk to Ray in Ogden, Utah, and our affiliate KCNR. Good evening, Ray.
Yes.
Hi.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to pick your and Tracy's brain, but you lost him, but that's okay. I'd like to get your opinion on what you think or how you think that the UFO phenomenon in general relates to, shall we say, the ultimate reality or ultimate destiny of mankind. You know, it seems to me that in the last 20 or 30 years, things have socially accelerated at such a rate.
Okay, that's a good question, Ray, and I'll tell you what, I got about 1 minute to answer it, so I'm going to let you off the phone, and I'll answer it for you, and then thank you for the call, okay?
Cool.
I think that the UFO phenomena poses a very interesting question for mankind. I think it's going to tell us a lot about who we are as people, how we fit into the cosmology, if you will, the universe and all of that. No doubt, there is a paradigm shift. The way it looks to me, there is a paradigm shift where things are occurring very rapidly. It seems like there is an acceleration, and where it's going, I don't know. Some parts of it disturb me. As I've said on other programs, I think that people are getting they're buying into some of this stuff too easily without demanding proof. No doubt, there is something going on. But what it is, we need to get to the bottom of, because it does seem to affect and touch a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And I think that that's one of the reasons we do this program. We want to explore this mystery. So anyway, Ray, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. And I want to tell you, next week we have Mark Davenport and Leah Haley on the program. We're going to talk about abductions. Leah and Mark Davenport are going to appear in Denver the latter part of August. We'll make an announcement about that next week. And we're also going to have Chris O'Brien on to talk about the mysterious San Luis Valley again, who's also going to appear in Denver, in case you're interested in hearing about that. That'll be on a future program. Also, remember, Thursday night in Denver, 970 Lincoln at Poor Joe's, the MICAP meeting takes place. We hope to see you there if you're in the Denver area. And as always, stay tuned next week, same time, same channel. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.